Man, I want to talk to you about Igor Shesterkin last night. And listen, I have him as my Vezina Trophy winner this year. Kind of off the board a little bit, but why not? Why the Ken Dryden tattoo? Now, I tweeted this out. It's a great piece of ink. I know it's going to be part of a bigger sleeve that you're going to get on your left arm. But why Ken Dryden?
There's a couple different reasons. I know, like, he's certainly before my vintage. My business partner at Ingle Magazine, David Hutchison, was like, you're too young to really be a fan of Dryden. So and he's a massive fan. So my fandom of Ken Dryden in particular is more to do with the book. There's a quote that's going to be worked into that piece that's from the game. Because the demands of the goalie are mostly mental, it means that for a goalie, the biggest enemy is himself. Not a puck, not an opponent, not a quirk of size or style. And I thought that was just so well said. And then there was also, anybody who follows me on Twitter would have seen at Christmas, my daughter, who's an aspiring artist, did a painting of Ken Dryden for me as a present that just blew me away and blew a lot of people away on Twitter. And there was an interaction that followed that made me an even bigger fan of Mr. Dryden. And so that just, you know, thanks to Devin Stacey from Heartache Tattoos here in Vancouver, just did a great job of that original piece that's going to tie into a broader goalie theme on the sleeve. I just thought he nailed that one.
Make sure to tip your artist on the way out. Make sure to tip your artist. That's great. Always love the artist plugs as well. By the way, really quick, any other goalies you've thought of inking on your body? Maybe like a vintage Gump Worsley in there somewhere. Maybe an obscure number 27 from the California Seal, Joe Meloche. Anything you're cooking in the back of your mind?
See, let's not forget, like, I didn't become a goalie till my mid-30s, Jeff. It's not like I grew up in the position. So a lot of the names you mention, despite being old enough to know who they are, that's not me in terms of sort of falling in love with the position of goaltender, wanting to learn as much as I can about it. And so my guys, and no, I haven't gotten to the point of contemplating a permanent place on my body for them, but my guys would be like Luongo and Lundqvist, guys who not only I think were the best of their generation, both recently retired, but guys who were also very gracious with their time with me over the years and within Goal Magazine in terms of helping me learn the positions. And going back to that Dryden quote, understanding that as much as I kept learning about technique and being able to watch them on the ice between the pipes and how they moved and break down the biomechanics and how they should move, what the read is, different techniques they could have applied, different save selections, at the end of the day, so much of this position isn't between the pipes, it's between the ears. And you can't actually know what they're thinking unless you're able to have those conversations with them about why they played certain things and sort of pick their brain. And we do that at Ingle every week. We have something called Pro Reads where we break down a video of a save with an NHL goaltender every single week. And it's even after thinking, after 10 years or 20 years of doing this, thinking that I understood the position and how much goes into it, it blew me away. Carey Price was our first guy, and the detail that he picks up on a read, on say a 5-on-5 zone entry into sort of end zone play, the handedness, the position, where they're holding their hands, like it blew me away, the level of detail that these guys are picking up on the fly with 10 bodies flying around and a little black piece of rubber flying around. And it's a lot about defensive systems. So again, I can't see what they're thinking. Why should I be judging how they performed until I have a better understanding of what they're trying to do out there? And that's kind of what made me fall in love with the position and conversations with guys like Lundqvist and Luongo, who are gracious enough to explain it.
So then if the game is all between the ears, then does that mean that right now the Russian goaltenders are the smartest? Whether it's Shesterkin, whether it's Vasilevsky, whether it's Samsonov, do we infer now? Because listen, the goalie factory has moved from Quebec to Helsinki now to Moscow. Why all the great Russian goalies all of a sudden?
There was a stop in Sweden on the way there, too. And interestingly enough, I think the Swedes developed a manual that the Russians actually now use in some of their lower levels of play in terms of instructions. And part of that manual, actually, interestingly enough, has roots here in Canada with current Canucks goaltending coach Ian Clark and some time he spent with Modo over in Sweden when Marcus Naslund retired. He hired him as the goalie coach there. So there's a lot of little things that tie in. But at the end of the day, for the Russian goaltenders, I think what you're seeing right now is just like it's a big hockey country. First of all, there's a lot of them that want to be a goalie, following in the heels of Bobrovsky and his Vezina trophies. Like, there's always that guy, right? Like Patrick Waugh in Quebec, Henrik Lundqvist in Sweden, Mika Kiprusoff in Finland. There's always that guy that inspires the next generation to want to play this position instead of forward or defense. And so there's some of that. But I think at the grassroots level, at the young ages, and I've had this conversation with Anton Hudobin in particular, they don't overteach, or at least they haven't to this point. They don't shove technique. Like, there's a lot of schools and drills and stuff, and a lot of it is old school skating. Some of it dates back to, like, Tretiak era stuff. And then as they get older, then they get the goalie coaching. That's the layer that's been added, but not at too young an age, Jeff. Like, they're allowed to sort of just get out there and skate and move and play with instinct at a young age and learn how, all those reads I talked about, they learn those. It's not that quote-unquote goalie school goalie who's just doing all these drills that look fantastic, but at the end of the day, he knows where the last shot comes from. So he moves around like an NHL goaltender, but he's not learning to read and that instinct element. They allow that to develop. They develop a lot of the raw skills in Russia, and then they add the technical component later on. Now, what's going to be interesting to see is how long can they maintain that? Because with success comes more goalie coaches coming over, and sometimes maybe it becomes too intrusive at too young an age and they become a little bit too quote-unquote technical and they lose some of those instincts that we see when Andre Vasilevskiy reaches behind his back to make, you know, this incredible instinctive save. By the way, he's left-handed, so he actually would have caught with the other hand if not for a lack of right-catching gloves in Russia when he was growing up. So they've really got that instinctual level. You see the way Shesterkin moves. Like, the Rangers posted a video on Twitter in the morning skate yesterday, and like, I swear I've watched it 500 times. Like, just the edge control, the way he regains angle on his knees but never deactivates the hands. Like, you add that base, that foundation, that skill level to Benoit Allaire as your goalie coach, and you've just got a recipe for, you know, continuing right where Henrik Lundqvist left off in New York, and, you know, Rangers fans being blessed with another great one. I like your pick for the Vezina. Wasn't sure what they'd be as a team. That always matters for Vezina voting. But when it comes to both his advanced analytics and his style, he's near the top of the league for sure.
Give me a couple more thoughts on Shesterkin here, because I'm curious. I mean, this is one of the big stories coming off of last night. And you mentioned Craig Anderson and being able to read shots, you know, almost, you know, better than most around the NHL. Again, my eye for goaltenders isn't as sharp as yours, but it seemed as if the minute he made that full-time transition from AHL goalie to NHL goalie, Shesterkin just looks like the guy who knows where everything is headed and makes sure he gets the position quickly so he can deal with it. What should we know about Shesterkin?
Well, I think, you know, and that's the thing. I haven't had those conversations I talked about that allowed me to learn where the strength of the game were with some of those other guys. I haven't been able to have that one with Igor, thanks to, you know, the pandemic and the way things have been. And I know there'll be a translation involved, but I'll never forget going in the room with Bobrovsky earlier in his years and the PR person saying, yeah, you know, he'll talk, but he doesn't really speak. And the next thing you know, we're both on our knees in the locker room speaking the language of goaltender and demonstrating things. So I haven't had that with Shesterkin, but when I watch him play, so I don't know how much of it is just anticipation and he clearly has a good mind for it, but when I watch him play, the edge work I talked about in that video and the skating and the fact that it's very rarely out of control, never completely lost. Like, yeah, you'll have goalie 911 moments where you got to go desperation, and he does as well as anyone. But the stage, like the point in a play, no matter how dynamic or how many chances, where he needs to go goalie 911 is so much later than everyone else because of the way he moves, not just on his skates when I talk about edge work, but on his knees. Like that clip I talked about, it's, you know, there's down into a butterfly, and the recovery isn't, there's no open and close in the recovery. It's a forward skull with his left skate to gain angle to his right side, instantly into a push over there. Like, just, that's what I mean by edge work. Even when he's on his knees, he's able to take his whole body, his whole torso, balanced over his knees on his pad, and put it in that next spot you talk about with his hands still active and his torso upright and in complete control. And that's where the combination of skill and also good technical foundation in terms of those movements, like, that's where the Russians are, you know, that's why everybody's looking for the next goalie over there, because they've got that combination.
So let me dovetail that with a conversation about Jack Campbell at the other end of the ice. And there were some great moments, albeit not the volume of shots that Shesterkin faced last night. But if you look at Jack Campbell and look at adjusted save percentage, not great last season by any stretch of the imagination. Why does he seem to fit, though, with the Maple Leafs?
Last night's a great example, actually, and you're right. Like, when you look at his raw save percentage, it was near the top of the league last year. The adjusted numbers I had from Clearside Analytics put him in the 30s. And that's not his fault. Like, that's just the environment. That environment is not easy. Like, that is not an easy night for a goaltender. When you watch the other guy at the other end standing on his head making 40 saves, and you got time to have lunch between shots on your side. Like, there's a mental component here to play. Like, the Leafs are a much better defensive team last year and this year. Like, significant improvements in terms of how they defend it. And again, pointing to the Clearside Analytic numbers, one of the best teams in the numbers that matter in terms of high danger 5-on-5 chances, one of the top three teams in the NHL. But not every goalie can play behind a team that doesn't keep them busy. We've seen, like, big-name goalies struggle with this over the years. You know, the prime example, and it's not fair to always point him out, but it's just the one that everybody sort of can relate to, is remember Curtis Joseph going to the loaded Detroit Red Wings?
Oh, God,
like,
yeah.
Expectation, like, Kudo stood on his head, heroic, while being outshot with other teams. And all of a sudden, the expectations and the environment changed. It's really hard to stay engaged on a night where you're only going to get 21 shots. I know, and I get it. Like, from the outside, you're like, listen, like, you're not busy. You're not seeing that much rubber. The chances are easier. The team's better defensively. This is a goalie's dream. And I get it. It makes sense. That's true. But not every goalie can play behind that team. I would argue that Freddie Anderson, when they became better defensively, that's when his performances started to slip. Now, listen, there were injuries last year, and certainly he's off to a great start in Carolina, but what was his best game of the Hurricanes so far? 40 shots. Right? There are some guys that are just better in that environment than they are in a 21-shot environment. And the toughest one to manage mentally is when it's 42-21 and the guy at the other end is stopping bullets in his teeth, because the mindset that you're trying to avoid is, oh, man, I better make that next save because this guy's stopping everything. Oh, man, I can't afford to let one in, and I haven't seen one in 5 minutes. Like, I know, hey, they're pros, and they're supposed to be able to handle it, but when we talk about the game being so mental, that's a big challenge, and it's one that I'm not sure Jack Campbell gets enough credit for being able to. Even I, when I point out the analytics and that they don't match the raw numbers, like, I got to remember just how good he is in terms of being able to handle that environment. And the other part that doesn't get talked about enough is, for all the talk about him mentally and the changes he made to sort of resurrect his career, look at his game technically since arriving in Toronto. He used to be much more aggressive, a lot of rhythm and flow, a lot of in and out in his game, get out early, flow with the play. He has quieted his game technically significantly. And it's notable because I'm not sure that the style he used to play would have worked, I don't care how mentally strong you are, behind a team that's playing like they did last night defensively. Because the more in and out and the more movement in your game, the more reliant you are on rhythm and timing. And what's hard to maintain when you're only seeing 20 shots a night? Rhythm and timing. So I think Steve Breer, the goalie coach there, deserves some credit too for sort of reining in his game and making it a little more technically sound, foundationally, positionally sound, and just a little more manageable on nights when you're not busy, and less reliant on that rhythm and timing.
You want to hear a really good, you mentioned Curtis Joseph. Want to hear a quick Cujo story before we bid you good afternoon?
Of course.
So Bill Waters told me this when he was working with the Toronto Maple Leafs as an assistant general manager. This is before Cujo went to Detroit. Don Meehan, Newport, who was representing Curtis, came into the office and said, I'm here to talk about the Cujo contract. And Bill's like, yeah, certainly. He said, MLSE, they own two professional sports franchises, right? And Bill said, yeah, the Leafs and the Raptors. Why? He says, Vince Carter is a star player on the Raptors, right? And Bill says, yes, he is. And he said, well, which team brings in more revenue? And he said, the Maple Leafs do. And he said, well, which player do you think individually brings in more revenue then? Curtis Joseph or Vince Carter? And Bill said, Curtis Joseph. And Don Meehan, without missing a beat, said, that's great. We'll take the Vince Carter contract. And Bill said, get out of my office. I've never heard a basketball player used as a comparable in an NHL negotiation, but good on Don Meehan for even suggesting it. One of the more creative creative contract conversations I've ever heard.
I love it because in an era where obviously the answer is five guys for basketball and that's all your stars and a deeper bench and you got to pay them all for hockey, who's the guy that affects the game more than anyone else? It's the goalie. Pay us all the money. That's how it should go.
Alain Vigneault's old line, if your goalie's better than my goalie, you win. If my goalie's better than your goalie, I win.